Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, the VPR rebuttal is on the air. Now, pardon my quiet tone, because there's a situation where I want to go live at a certain time, but today there's just a lot happening, so I have to be incognito. So bear with me here. I think I'll be able to turn up the volume in a few minutes, but it's one of those inconveniences where, you know, stupid hiring managers won't give me a job offer, so still living at home, and, you know, I can't run a podcast at a predictable time because, you know, folks are in, folks are out. And in this case, there's another thing that happened as well. Windows Update. Yeah, I locked the computer up, right? Shouldn't be able to do anything to itself. But no, Windows Update went and shut off the computer. So I have to go reopen all the stuff I had open and retrieve all my information. So if anyone is using Windows, do yourself a big favor and get Linux. I'm pretty sure Mac doesn't do the Macintosh update. Windows is the only operating system that does that stupid update. You can lock down the computer, but the damn thing will always find a way to update itself. There's nothing you can do about it except to leave Windows altogether. And that's my Windows rant right now. Okay, so looking at the title, this episode is about Wisconsin Senator Lena Taylor. She's been in the news mostly on WPR.org, and with this being WPR rebuttal, I want to give another side of the story. And I'm going to peek out here in my room, because the podcast, we have a conference line, and the conference line has the benefit of allowing the host to walk around. But I would much prefer to be at the computer so I can see a dashboard and see the callers. But it's just like looking at the garage here. Well, they left. That's good. Okay, so I checked the garage, and now I'm the only one here. So now I can actually talk in a normal voice instead of being all hushed. So everyone who stayed with me through the first awkward few minutes, in which I was not quite whispering, but I was speaking in a low voice in order to avoid being overheard by others who were nearby. Well, thanks for staying tuned in, and now we can begin the episode properly. WPR Rebuttal is on the air. WPR Rebuttal is covering the sides of the story missed by Wisconsin Public Radio. We're bringing you narratives the UW System Board of Regents won't allow, and we're shedding light on perspectives the owners of WPR don't want you to hear. I am your host, Senator JPO. Welcome to another episode of WPR Rebuttal. If you wish to call in, our number is 929-477-3965. Again, if you want to be a caller, right now, you can call 929-477-3965. Okay, so Senator Lena Taylor in the state of Wisconsin, why is she in the news suddenly this week? Well, within a span of 7 days, actually it's more like 5 days, there are two confrontations that occurred. And, of course, her political opponents, not the Republicans. The Republicans pretty much left her alone, but her fellow Democrats took her to task over these things. And the first thing is that Wells Fargo Bank, Lena Taylor complained to a bank teller who would not cash her check. Now, the details about the check were not publicized, and basically, if it's not in the police report, which that information is redacted, as well as the name of the bank teller. So there's too much redacted from the police report to ever really say what precisely about that check caused the bank teller to deny it being cashed. But suffice to say, there's probably a large amount on that check. And my understanding is that the banks have these regulations that they follow based upon federal law, anti-racketeering law. They call it the RICO code. But essentially, to fight racketeering and to fight organized crime, if a check exceeds a certain amount, usually if it's more than $2,500, then they will go and delay the cashing of it. And obviously, hey, even a politician has cash flow problems. So if the bank teller is not going to cash a check, then that's definitely a reason to complain. Poor customer service. And, I mean, Leah Taylor is reported to calling the bank teller a term that's kind of like, well, you're a good slave, in other words. That's what it means when someone says, well, you're a good house Negro. It means, well, not only are you a slave, but you're a happy slave who kisses up to your slave drivers. In other words, the one thing that Lena could have said is, well, you really have Stockholm Syndrome, but the bank teller might not have understood that obscure reference. So to call the bank teller house Negro is more easily accessible and understandable, and you know exactly what she means when you say that versus, well, you have Stockholm Syndrome. I mean, the bank teller might not know what it means, and I mean, by the time the work shift is over, or maybe during a break, trying to look it up on the phone, what does it mean to have Stockholm Syndrome? I mean, come on. Just go with the direct thing like Lena Taylor did. But then again, calling someone as having Stockholm Syndrome is not going to get you cited for disorderly conduct, like calling someone a house Negro will possibly get you cited. But you know what I think is going to happen? I'm pretty sure Lena Taylor is just going to talk to a district attorney and are going to get thrown out. Now, maybe Lena's lawyer will talk to the district attorney, but having gotten similar things dismissed on my own by talking with a district attorney, when I lived in Milwaukee, I can say that you can actually save yourself some money by just skipping the private representation and talking with a district attorney right away. And chances are the DA will be so impressed that you're willing to speak with him or her that they will recommend to the judge that the charge be dismissed. I actually did that when I was a student at UW Milwaukee. There was this idiotic bipolar female classmate who accused me of like ripping a survey out of her hand. And although the monetary value of the survey is just a piece of paper and it's not like any personally identifiable information, there's no trade secret on the paper. It was just a survey about soft drink preferences. And they were trying to charge me with like felony robbery. Yeah, over the allegation that I ripped it out. Now, of course, my strategy wisely was twofold. One, I did not take anything because really when you are accused of wresting something from someone's hands, it doesn't matter if it's a piece of lint. It doesn't matter if what they're holding on to is worthless economically because just the fact of grabbing something out of their hand is the actual crime. Okay, it's robbery. If you rob someone for a piece of lint, that's still robbery and that's still a felony. So my argument was not that the survey was worthless. My argument was that I didn't take the survey. And my other argument was, look at the security footage. Because thankfully, when that happened over in Lubar Business Hall, okay, that's where they have all the business students. And I was just passing through Lubar, and then essentially this girl was really snotty to me after I filled out the survey. So, again, I didn't take the survey that I made to her, motivated her to fabricate the story that I'd taken the survey. But I just told the police, hey, I told the police, first of all, look at the security footage. And they wanted to charge me anyways. And I told the district attorney, look at the security footage. And that, I mean, him being the district attorney agreed with me. And that was what turn the tide in my favor. But yeah, that was a little inconvenient having to go down to the Milwaukee County City Hall twice. One was for a charging hearing, and the other was for the actual trial. Or actually, it's more of a bench trial because the DA recommended that the charge against me be dismissed, and the judge agreed. So yeah, I mean, Leah Taylor is probably not going to go down to City Hall herself. She'll probably have a lawyer go down for her. But if this happens to you, just do like I did. One, just say you didn't take anything. If there's any security cameras around, if there are any security cameras, look for just a man to look at the footage. Because the police were showing me the footage on it, and I'm like, well, look, it skips some frames. It doesn't show me actually taking anything. It just shows me walking away. And a district attorney believed me, so hurrah. And that snotty girl who made up the story, well, I'm pretty sure she's living at home too, because I can't imagine she'd have any better success in the job market than me. And I don't use Facebook, so I can't view her profile, but she's not on LinkedIn, so obviously she can't be doing too well, because most of the time, if you're on LinkedIn, then you hold a white-collar job. Now, me, I have a LinkedIn profile, and I've been trying to get a white-collar job, but whatever. I'll have to make do a WPR rebuttal as a source of professional fulfillment. Okay, so that was the first incident that got Leah Taylor under fire from her colleagues. And then the second incident, which is even more ridiculous in how her peers are responding to it. But apparently one of her legislative staff, which I presume is a legislative aide, because the amount of pay that this staff member received while being absent, okay, the amount exceeds $80,000 in a year. So it's not going to be an intern, because most legislative interns are unpaid. It might be a chief of staff, but they didn't say. My point is that, you know, I understand from experience stumping for internships is that the chief of staff is the killjoy. And I'm sure a chief of staff was trying to overrule Senator Leah Taylor by saying, oh, no, you can't unilaterally sanction a staff member, because I'm the chief of staff, not you. That's probably what the chief of staff said, something like that. I mean, it was ridiculous, because I applied for an internship at John Brostoff's office, and I was talking to Rebecca Frank, who's like a legislative aide, and we were going to have an interview for the internship on April 4th, and a stupid Anahi Sandoval Sanchez, never met him or her, but obviously, that person is a jerk, because he or she just unilaterally canceled the interview that I had scheduled over a month in advance with Rebecca Frank, and that asshole Nahi canceled it. So, again, I understand and I identify with Leah Taylor's struggles to hold her staff accountable, because these chief of staff, you know, they just have this God complex that, well, I'm this highly paid chief of staff, so I can go and, you know, shit can any person who applies for an internship, even though my legislative aide might have scheduled an interview. And I, on the other hand, I can play favorites as chief of staff, and I can let these other legislative aides go on paid leave for as many hours as they want. And if the senator or representative tries to hold me in check, well, then I'll complain. And amazingly, Leah Taylor was removed from the Senate Budget Committee. Like, that was surprising, because according to Wisconsin Public Radio, the primary reason that she was removed is not because of the Wells Fargo incident, because God knows Wells Fargo deserves all the ire that's coming to them with all their fraudulent account creation and all that. Wells Fargo is a bunch of crooks, and they should all be called a bunch of house Negroes for doing that crap. But Senator Taylor was removed because she overruled her chief of staff. I mean, come on. The chief of staff should serve at the pleasure of the senator or representative. Okay, the chief of staff should not have more power than the senator or representative they're supposed to serve. That's asinine. Okay, so
Yeah, Anahi Sindel Sanchez. I mean, what a unprincipled term of a person. I'll put it that way. Okay, so now who actually recommended Lena Taylor be removed from the State Budget Committee? State Senate Minority Leader Jennifer Schilling. Well, yeah, you can tell that Schilling smelled blood in the water and wanted to pounce on her political rival. You see, there's so much Democrat infighting here that you just don't see in the Republicans lately. Yeah, so much infighting in the Democrat Party within the Wisconsin state here. I mean, if you look at the gubernatorial field, there are at least 16 declared Democrat candidates for governor. And it's just so fragmented because you have Jennifer Schilling trying to throw Lena Taylor under the bus. I mean, come on. Just wait when Jennifer Schilling is at her bank and her bank teller denies her the right to cash a check that she needs because of the cash flow problem. Well, there you are. And Jennifer Schilling's chief of staff. Oh my gosh. I don't want to imagine what goes on in that office because, needless to say, I would not want to even try to get an inroad as an intern to Jennifer Schilling's office because that just seems like such a toxic work environment. Whereas I would want to intern for Lena Taylor. I would want to help Lena Taylor reduce the absenteeism and straighten out these dummies who think that they can get paid to no show and be absentee aides. I mean, come on. Man. You know, that's really interesting. You know that the political world is upside down when I speak favorably of a Democrat who's being bashed by another Democrat. And really is because Lena Taylor is showing some common sense and Jennifer Schilling and her apparatchiks went in lockstep to go and punish Lena Taylor for just showing some common sense here with dealing that Wells Fargo jerk and dealing that asshole absentee worker. My golly. Well, that's really all I have to say about Lena Taylor. You heard my Windows rant. If you're tuning in later in the show, yeah, so you know what Windows 10 has done? Well, today, at about 6:30 in the morning, okay, I had already locked my computer. Locking your computer is supposed to prevent from doing anything. Well, this stupid Windows update itself and shut down a computer and restart, so all the Firefox and all the Photoshop and all the Notepad files, I had to reopen them, and it's just inconvenient. Like, let's say that you are building a sandcastle, and then it can save to some extent, but a lot of it is just work in progress, and you have some ideas floating around, and I mean, it's easy to save the Notepad files and whatnot, but with some of the digital files, it's like you're saving it in progress, and you have the stuff open to jog your train of thought, right? When a big tidal wave of the Windows 10 update comes and washes away a good deal of that sandcastle, not because you haven't been saving religiously, I have, it's just that one, sometimes the saves don't seem to take, which is odd, because everything should save. And the other thing is, there aren't as many Windows open. I mean, there are no Windows open except for the stupid Microsoft Edge browser, which I could have sworn I uninstalled the damn thing, but Windows 10 update brought it back. That's just, I have my stuff open on a desktop for a reason so that when I unlock the computer, I can jog my memory what I was doing. Windows 10 just washes it all away. If you have stuff on the blackboard, boom. Windows 10 update will just erase it, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it. And I tell you, I was this close to getting Unix last December 2016, okay? So it's not really last December, but it was like 2 Decembers ago, 2016. And daggone, my uncle, I know he meant well, but he bought me a $600 Windows PC. And what I should have done is just said, no, thank you. I'm going to plunk down the $850 or however much to go and make my Unix computer or get it built for me. But nope, I had to take the gift. And by golly, that gift is sucker punching me with this stupid asinine Windows update. Microsoft, I doubt anyone from Microsoft is listening, but if they are, they should know that until they rein in that Windows update, until they eliminate the ability to hijack your computer, even when it's locked down and everything, and it seems that, I usually don't turn off my computer, but it seems I've heard from other people that if you turn off your computer, then Windows update will start up your computer to false update. But so that is artificial on awry. It's already usurping the free will of doing anything a damn well pleases. And I don't like the artificial intelligence. I don't buy smart anything. I don't even have a smartphone just because anything with the adjective smart in it can be injected with artificial intelligence via updates. You don't know the artificial intelligence that's being payloaded into this update, and it can make your software do things that you don't want to do. And, you know, stupid Windows update stuff that's going on with the PC, well, that'll go on with your Windows phone, too. And that's why I don't use Windows phone. No way. Well, we don't have any callers, and really, with a subject like this, I don't imagine that we get that many callers because, one, I mean, who's going to spend time calling in on a show to rant about Windows 10 when they know Microsoft is not going to listen? We'd have to essentially boycott Microsoft, which I think, yeah, that would be a good idea for a petition. I have to get cracking on making more petitions because I need to make one for student worker UI benefits. I need to make another one for the student loan, or not student loan, but the student job placement catastrophe. You know, student loans wouldn't be a big issue if the students could actually get decent job offers, but, you know, shit-eating hiring managers, that's what they are. I usually don't use that type of language on a podcast, but, you know, I mean, between President Trump and Senator Lena Taylor, you know, it's kind of become more acceptable to use that language. So, yeah, call a spade a spade. Lena Taylor does it, and, you know, WPR rebuttal. We say things here that you cannot get away with at WPR.org. You know, I say things here that get you banned from the comment section of WPR. And that's the value of WPR rebuttal, is you get uncensored, unfiltered dialogue. So hooray for that. Although, of course, an episode such as this, it's more of a monologue because when I read off our call number, 929-477-3965, just like, you know, I mean, lots of people are listening from their workplace and they don't want to really call in because a lot of them would prefer to text. Unfortunately, Blog Talk Radio does not support text comments right now. The closest you can get is to send me an email at feedback, one word, at wpr-rebel.com. Again, if you want to text me a comment, you can't do that, but you can email it to me at feedback at wpr-rebel.com. Okay, well, that's all the stuff that I care to cover in this show. I'm going to side on the next week's topic, although I did see something on WPR that's unrelated, and it could be a fresh topic, but I don't want to commit myself to it because there is so much that could happen between now and then. You know, a live show like this is unpredictable, and even at the beginning, as you remember, I had to start, like, practically whispering because, you know, so are people in the house, and I didn't want to really launch in a big tirade when they're around. Okay, well, this is Senator JPO signing off for WPR Rebuttal. Again, our next episode will be next Tuesday around 12:30. Again, if there's another situation where Windows shuts down the computer without my consent, or if there's someone lingering around the house a little longer than they ought to, then we might start at 12:35, but the true believers will stick around and they'll be there if I start at 12:35, 12:38, or at 12:30 on the dot. So, Senator JPO signing off for WPR Rebuttal.